last 4 weeks, and this is the final week that I will be looking at first period this time, and we will continue at another time the rest of the book. So we were looking at the responsibilities of a believer in different aspects of our lives in this world. You know, we started our study at chapter 1 and verse 23. Peter talks about the birth of a Christian, and that is by the incorruptible word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then, beginning in chapter 2, he talks about the growth of a Christian by the pure milk of the word of God. And then he goes on to the next stage of a believer's growth. And that is, you realize that when you're born into the family of God, you have so many privileges, right? So many privileges. And as you grow, you come to realize what those privileges are. So we listed quite a few of them when we looked at it the week. Not this time, it was last time. Then Peter says that at any time when you enjoy privileges, there is always responsibilities that goes with it, right? With the privileges comes responsibilities. So his subject starting at chapter 2, verse 11, and we already, that's what we are looking at. We already looked at two of the responsibilities. One is our responsibility towards the world as a whole. How do we interact with the worldlings who may not share the same faith or the same values you have? And then starting at chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, our responsibilities or our attitude towards the government of the country we are living in. And that's what we looked at last week. And we looked at the portion from First Peter and also from Romans chapter 13, the beginning verses. So both Peter and Paul are giving us convincing and compelling reasons why we should submit to authorities. And the next responsibility Peter is mentioning is our responsibility towards our employers, our workplace. But before we go into that, I like to I like to point out that there are exceptions to this obedience, and believers are called at times to disobey the authorities under certain circumstances. And today, I want to look at the times that we as believers are called to disobey the authorities. So the as you can see, the thought here is that the main thought is that we ought to obey God rather than man. So if anyone in authority called on a believer to act opposite or contrary to the revealed will of God for a believer, as written in the Word of God, then the believer must disobey that authority. The words that uttered by the same Peter that is writing us and telling us that we should submit to all authorities showed us by his actions from an incident in the book of Acts that says we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, when circumstances arise when submitting and obeying the authorities will be contrary to the word of God, contrary to the revealed will of God, we should obey God rather than men. You know, we see that in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. You know, there was an incident where Peter himself and the other apostles, they faced a challenge shortly after the Pentecost. The Jewish council commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ, but they refused to obey. And that is when this verse here in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. A Christian is not called to obey if the authorities ordered you to sin or compromise in any way to your loyalty to Jesus Christ. So if the obedience or submission to authorities means disobedience to God, it is very clear that we should obey God rather than man. We should be able to do it because we know that there is a far greater authority exists in the universe behind all the other authorities. And first and foremost, responsibility of a believer is to be under that authority, the authority of God. You know, but it is important for us to remember that we are not called to start a rebellion or a uprising or a revolt, but simply we are to disobey the authorities without disrespecting the institution of government. We are also called to suffer any consequences for that disobedience, knowing that we are doing it for the Lord's sake. You know, we see another example in the scriptures, the story of the Hebrew midwives in the Old Testament, where they disobeyed the order of Pharaoh to kill the Hebrew boys. And the reason they say disobeyed, the Bible says, is because they feared God more than they feared the Pharaoh. You know, Exodus 1:17, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. The fear of God was greater than the fear of the most powerful man in Egypt, Pharaoh, and they disobeyed. Then we read another stories like the King Nebuchadnezzar and the book of Daniel, how Daniel and his friends dealt with how they responded to the king's command. And we all know those stories. So there are at times we are called to disobey, even though our call is to submit to all authorities. There are times, there are incidents, occasions where we should and we must, as believers, as children of God, must disobey the authorities. So now we will move on to the next one, that I said, our responsibility towards our employer. That is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 25. So we will read that, say, servants, be submissive. Here again that word, submission. Submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So, we need to keep in mind that the major theme that runs through the book of 1 Peter is the suffering of a believer and the glory that is to follow. So every responsibility of a believer that we look so far, we see that this theme is interwoven through these verses. For example, when we looked at our responsibility towards the world around us, he told us that even if we live an honorable life, doing the right things, it is possible that people can label us evildoers and cause us grief and make us to suffer for our faith and standing, our standing with God. But then he says we should continue to live an honorable life regardless. Then when we come to our submission to authorities, say it is possible that foolish men with their ignorance can make our life very difficult. They can make us suffer because of our faith. But by continuing to submit to authorities and continuing to do good, we should put them to silence. And we are also called to suffer when we have to disobey the authorities, because we have to obey God rather than men. Now, when we come to these verses about submitting to masters or our employers, Peter's theme is still about unjust suffering of a believer. Now, at our workplaces, then he's going to place Jesus Christ in front of us, and as if, putting a spotlight on him and shining him before us and show us that the perfect servant of God, the greatest servant of all, suffered unjustly, and he is our example to follow. So when Peter was writing these verses, he's using the Greek word here, I understand, is for household servants or household slaves. And the form of employment was somewhat different from what it is now, yet the fundamental teaching from these verses are far-reaching and can be applied to the modern day employment and the hierarchy we see at our workplaces. And there are several different ways a person acquired servanthood in those times. You could be either a hired servant, or you could be one that was bought with money, or taken in wars, or born in the house of the master, or contracted to work for a period of time. Scripture, through Peter, is giving us some guidelines as to our behavior at our workplaces. So now, let's look at some of the principles that Peter is bringing out in this portion. So verse 18, it says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. So, first principle is have an attitude of respect and willingness to subject to your superiors. And Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. So when we say with fear, it is not like we are scared of them, but it is an attitude of respect because of the authority they have over you, a godly desire to please those who are over you, a willingness to carry out what they demand of you for the good of all, and in our days, for the good of the organization that we work for. That is the first principle that he is bringing out. Have an attitude of respect for your employer. Then Peter goes on to say, the next principle is, he says, we should submit not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Okay, this is one of the most difficult thing as employees, okay, if you are working under another person. This person, this is something that is very hard for us to do, right? So he goes on a step further and telling us that this attitude of submission, this respect, should not only toward those who, in Peter's words, good and gentle, but also to those who are harsh or those who treat you harshly. It is very easy to submit to an employer who is good and gentle, but we are to respect and submit not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh, unfair, maybe even cruel masters or superiors. You know, now I'm sure some of you may be able to identify yourself with a situation like this. You may have a superior or supervisor that is very unreasonable, very hard to please. No matter what you do, how hard you work, there is no pleasing them. There is no way you can please them. They are very unreasonable and hard to please. And it can be very frustrating. I know from my own experience, I have experienced that. I'm sure you may also go through some of these circumstances. It is natural to feel that we should fight back and demand our rights. However, our orders from the scriptures is that we have to go beyond that. And our measuring standard should not be the disposition of the employer, but our conscience towards God, and submit to all with an attitude of respect. Our call is to perform our duties faithfully, regardless of the character of the superiors. The reason is that for a believer, a lot more than a paycheck is involved. Your testimony depends on how you behave at your workplace. Our relationship to work should be radically different from the world because of Christ. So, and the next principle, we move on to the next one. It says, Peter says, the suffering for the right reason is always rewarded. Okay, look at verse 19 again. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, right? It is possible that even when your work reflects exceptional quality and you may be timely attendance, attention to details, and go out of your way to contribute to the overall function of your workplace, it is possible that, yet, it is possible that you may be treated unfairly by your superiors. In that situation, you are, Peter says, you are suffering wrongfully. But the scriptural principle is that even at that time, we should continue to submit to our superiors. You know, Peter told us a couple of verses earlier that all authority is delegated authority from God. There is a submission that is commendable, and that is when we submit because we are trying to honor the lordship of God. Even when you face harshness and cruelty and unfair treatment, you submit because of our conscience and an ultimate goal of pleasing the Lord. So a Christian's relationship with God is far more important than his relationship with man. And Peter had learned through his own experience that suffering is a way to glory. Remember, Peter opposed Christ's suffering on the cross. But he learned that Jesus Christ had to suffer and then enter into glory, and our path maybe also lead us through suffering, but there is a glory that is waiting for us. There is a reward for unjust suffering. There is a commendation from God when you suffer wrongfully. Then he makes a distinction between just suffering and unjust suffering. Verse 20, the next verse. For what credit is it if when you are beaten by your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So Peter here makes a distinction between just suffering and unjust suffering. Okay, there is a suffering that is commendable before God, and there is a suffering that is not commendable, not rewarded by God. So suppose you are a Christian employee who is in the habit of producing shoddy work, or late coming to work, or constantly have an unprofessional attitude, and your superior is constantly getting on you. It is a just suffering, okay? You deserve it. We deserve it. Because we are getting what is because of our fault. You are bringing those on yourself. There is no credit from God for suffering punishment or his consequences when you earned it, when you deserve it. Then he says, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? If you are at fault, there is no virtue, even if you take the suffering, even if you take the consequences patiently or with a calm temper. There is no commendation from God when you suffer because of your own fault. Then Peter says, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. If you prove yourself a faithful employee in all aspects of your responsibilities, and still the superior is giving you a difficult time, that is unjust suffering. And Peter says it is commendable before God. You know, at times it's easy for us to think that there is no reward, no commendation, no advantage for you, even after great efforts at workplace. But God is a great rewarder of those who suffer unjustly. Then I move on to the next one. Then he's going to show Christ as our example. Okay, verse 21 through 23. I'm just going to read a couple of verses because of the time. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. So Peter is going to set before us the perfect servant, the ultimate servant, the one who said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He is going to show us how our Lord has suffered unjustly at the hands of his creatures, and how God turned that out to be the greatest miracle of the world. So how can the example of Christ motivate us to follow his steps? First, he showed us that unjust suffering is expected for a believer. Because verse 21 says, for this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Peter is saying that our example is a suffering servant. And when we suffer as servants, we are following his footsteps. Like I said, Jesus Christ was the perfect servant. And even when he suffered unjustly, when they were heaping on him the mockery and the shame and the physical abuse, he committed no sin. There was not even a deceit found in his mouth. When we suffer unjustly, it is easy for us to say, what good is in being faithful and just? And we can question the faithfulness of God and have an ill feeling towards God. And we will be committing sin when we do that. We look at our Jesus Christ. He said, even when he suffered unjustly, he did no sin. Not even deceit was found in his mouth. Then he showed us how to react under unjust suffering. He says, verse 23, well, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. When he was unjustly accused and made to suffer, he did not verbally lash out or threaten those who caused unjust suffering. It is normal for us to vindicate ourselves when we unjustly accused or provoked. But Jesus Christ, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. But his silence was not a sign of weakness, but rather it was a sign of great strength. And when we bear under pressure without retaliating, we are not showing weakness, but the supernatural strength of a spirit-filled life. Then he showed us the secret of victory when facing unjust suffering. That was verse 23, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judgeth righteously. Jesus Christ showed us that the secret to bear under pressure, under unjust suffering, is to be mindful of God and commit to God, who is the righteous judge, who one day is going to vindicate those who suffer unjustly. He cared more about the commendation of God, his Father, than trying to justify himself when he suffered unjustly. So we can follow his steps. Here are just key points to remember from this portion. Christian employees must obey their employers in everything. Second, Christian employees must obey even ungodly and difficult employers. Christian employees must not retaliate against their employer. Christian employees must obey their employers with sincerity of heart, which we see in Paul's writing. Christian employers must obey their employers out of reverence for the Lord. And Christian employers must work for men with all their energy as if they are working for the Lord. So we will stop here. And there is more. The next one is our responsibility towards each other as husband and wives. And we will take that at another time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we are able to look into thy precious word as Peter is giving us practical principles from the word of God, how we ought to live in this world. How do we treat people at our workplace? How we should, our testimony should shine forth at the place that we work, and they should know that there is a difference between us and the others, that we, Father, we thank you for placing before us the perfect servant, our Lord Jesus Christ, and how he suffered unjustly, but committed himself to the one who, Father, is going to judge righteously at the end. And we also, Father, help us to follow his example, follow his ways, look at our Lord Jesus Christ each and every day of our life, and learn our lessons from him. Thank you that he is our Savior, not only just an example, but he's our Savior, he's our Lord, he's the mighty King. And Father, we thank you for him, and thank you for the great salvation that we enjoy, Father, from the power of darkness into his marvelous light. What a life that thou hast given to us. And Father, we thank you, we praise you, we commit our week into the mighty hand, and pray that it may be with us till we meet again, and bless us with your presence. And continue to pray for Mary, and she is in the hospital. We pray for special care and comfort for her. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and pray all these in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.